Good afternoon. We are in the Princeton Public Library on the 22nd of January, 2024, as part of the Voices of Princeton project. My name is Kim Dorman. I am here as the interviewer, and I'm here with
Liliana Morenilla,
the interviewee. Liliana, thank you so much for coming today. I'm really grateful that we can include your voice in part of the Voices of Princeton project. Can we start with you telling us how you came to Princeton?
Yes, I came to Princeton in 2007. My husband had a job in BMS, and that's how we started, you know, the relationship with the Princeton community.
Okay, wonderful. So you've been in Princeton since 2007. Do you feel like it's changed?
Oh, a lot, yeah. So when we came here, I think they only had 5 restaurants and like 2 stores. And now I think we're up to 30 something and lots of stores. We're going to have a Hermes. Yes, definitely has changed a lot. It has developed. Yeah.
Okay.
In a way, in other ways, it's still the same way. So, you know, it's for the families that I take care of. So the in the Witherspoon Jackson neighborhood is the underserved community is as it was.
So can you, first tell us a little bit more about, you know, you said that you serve these families. I think that there's been an evolution in that. Can you tell maybe first how you came to be involved with working with community members and then what that commitment has looked like over time?
Yes. So when we came in 2007, my youngest Ines was a JP and she was in third grade. And the principal then asked me if I wouldn't mind translating for some of the families when they had PTOs or they had like parent-teacher conferences and so on, because there were very few. So I said yes, and that was the beginning of a very, very long relationship with Dr. Ginsberg. In fact, he asked me at the end of that year if I would get more involved only with the Latino families. I said yes. And so I was at the library at then helping them with some ESL classes. Then I also with Arm in Arm. And then in 2010, the public schools offered me a position there part-time the first year. And then the second year, I was just full-time. And I was mostly in the self-contained classes, what they call LLD for the public schools, that they were mostly Latinos. And that's when I started realizing the need that Princeton had for someone to speak up for them.
Mm. And so how did you start? You started doing that in a role as a school liaison to the Latina communities, but then you also took on some roles in addition to that.
Yeah, so in 2017, we created the Princeton Children's Fund, and at the same time, we had what we call Pantry. It was something that started from my pocket in 2010. It was at my every Wednesday, because that was the day that the families wanted to be helped. It was like a little relationship that I had with Mercer friends, and every Wednesday I had little things that I had in my car, apples, bread, stuff like that. And little by little, it came bigger and bigger. So we started with, I think it was 20 families. Right now, I think we serve 310. We became a 501c3, Pantry became a 501c3 during pandemic. So yes, my relationship has been the public schools, the Princeton Children's Fund that now is done, the Princeton Mobile Food Pantry, and I was a co-founder for Share My Meals.
And so a lot of that has been around food.
Yes. Yeah. So the need of food for the underserved community, it's amazing, because our families like fresh produce. They are not used to using any cans, and they don't know how to cook. The children don't eat when it's like that. So it's not a matter of, you know, we can give you peanut butter and jelly, and we can give you mac and cheese, because the kids don't eat mac and cheese and they don't eat peanut butter. So you have to approach with the, you know, you have to give them what they can use for them to be fed. So it's been a process. It's been a long process. Yeah, and also it's they don't live in a one family per home. It's we have different families in a home, so they have different schedules. They don't have an entire fridge for themselves. They have different shelves, so you have to know what can go there or not.
And so you've been working with families through your position at the school and also in these nonprofit things. What have you learned about yourself in the process of helping in these two avenues?
Patience. I think I have a lot of patience. I think also that you can always do you there's you know you can always go f you can always ask for more. I don't have any shame. I ask everybody. I ask to whom I can. So I have lost my shame. I think I feel very strongly that this is something that it needs help, and to have a face that someone that to have the trust at the end of the day, it's one word and it's key, is trust. These families trust me, so I do, how do you say it in English, above and beyond of what, if I can do it, I will definitely do it. Yeah.
I mean, your background, as I understand it, was not.
I'm an attorney.
You're an attorney.
Yeah.
So how do you,
And
how does
my
that come
father was
in?
a Supreme Court judge, so I think I'm very.
She's put her hand up and down to indicate possibly legally
Exactly.
minded, yeah.
Yes.
Do you think that you've brought in your legal background in any way to this work?
I think I have brought in perspective, in that it's everybody talks about equity that still people don't understand, but I think it's been a movement that you have to give each one what they need. Not everybody needs the same. And I am, Princeton is a super generous community, and it's very liberal, and it is wonderful to work with Princetonians. But at the same time, when we ask for you to donate, we're not asking you to empty your pantry and give us Thai food that you know. It's very specific what we need. So please, yes. And I don't pretend to be rude, but it's like, it's if you give them curry, well, they're not gonna use it. So,
Do you
Kim
have
is speechless.
a No, not at all. Do you have visions? Do you feel like the challenges that are facing the communities that you're working with have been the same, have changed over
Well,
time?
I have to say, and I'm super proud. It's like when I started in 2007, no one, I mean, not no one, but very few had access to affordable housing. Now, more and more, even though you don't have a social, if you have a TIN number, if your children have a social, that has been an amazing improvement for this community to have access to affordable housing. That has been, I would say. And then also the registrations for the public schools, it's much, I mean, you have to, of course, the requirements are the requirements, but it's, I think the public schools have done a good job, I want to say. I think people, they call me from the deportation centers in Texas, or they want to come to Princeton because they know that they would be taken care of, and that makes me proud.
We've talked a lot about kind of the work that you're doing and how that's changed over time. But personally, I wonder, like, I think this sort of feeds into it. What have been your, you've raised a family here. What have been your formative experiences
And
in Princeton?
I think that has been part of to do what I do is I have three children. My kids, as I said, my youngest was in third grade, the others were in the middle school, and they went through the public schools. I had wonderful students, wonderful athletes, not so wonderful students, not so wonderful athletes. So I think it's I think it's I have experimented. And I was almost a single mom, so I have experimented the how hard it is for a kid that you have a different last name, and you don't look the same, and it's so I think it's been hard, but at the same time, my kids have done very well. They went to amazing colleges. They did well or in school. They so I mean, for my own family, this has been this has been a great town. This town is, I think, is very familiar focused. There are tons of things that you can do. You can go, you can, you know, take them on walks. You can go to through the path in the canal. You can go to Princeton University games. I mean, there's a lot to do here. And I took advantage of that. Yeah.
How would you describe Princeton to someone who hasn't been here?
I always say the same thing. I think this is a very familiar town. It's very liberal and it's very generous.
What are your best memories of Princeton?
Well, I think it is the three nonprofits that I have been part of it, and right now my baby, that is Pantry, that is that is an honor to be still part of it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the mobile food pantry does more than food.
Yes. So we deliver groceries, fresh groceries. It's protein. There's a bag of protein and there's a bag of produce, and then what we call a goodie bag that can have hygiene products or I don't know, whatever it's being donated. We have different donors that really help us. So that is one of the things that we do every other Wednesday. And then we have what we call pop-up clinics every third Saturday of the month. So we help families. There's a store that everything is free, that you can purchase at zero cost seasonal clothes. Then we have pop-up clinics, so they help you with New Jersey Family Care applications, so with the free reduce application. So they teach you. We have different pediatricians from Rutgers that they have like little seminars, like how to read temperature, what is temperature with COVID. We did tons of clinics about COVID. We have the health department coming and do flu shots. We had COVID shots. My goal is to create a sense of community for everybody, and I think that Pantry does a good job in that.
I was going to talk about community, because really, with all the different communities that you're connected with, you're building different networks, it seems.
Yeah.
You know, people who are making sure that everyone feels comfortable and can help you, and Mobile Food Pantry or the different organizations and the work that you do, but also making sure that all the people who live here are connected with one another.
Exactly. I think it's part of the success of Pantry is the volunteers. We have 57 volunteers every other Wednesday. It's a lot. We have 20 drivers. We have packers. We have, you know, seniors who come and get the bagels that are leftovers at the bagel nook. We have different people that donate different things that to humans. I mean, and I don't want to leave anyone out, but I think it's volunteers are, this is amazing. I come from Spain and they don't do that.
And you also have a sort of notification list on WhatsApp.
Yeah. I have different chats. One of them, Kim is part, that is called Amigos, and it's everything that goes on in town, kind of. It's so if the library has an event, it's posted there. If Human Services has an event, it's posted there. If there's snow, if there's a heat, I mean, it's different things. If there's school, no school, and all that is. And we are like, I think there are like 700 people there. There's a lot of
something like that. But I also was going to say, in terms of community, it's another space that you're building community, because you put these notices up in that group, but also other people contribute.
Oh yeah,
within the group, and
I mean, when they asked me, I said, "This is your chat too." So you say sometimes they fight, but
so real community.
Yeah, there you go.
What has been a difficult time for you in Princeton, or, you know, has there been a difficult time or a time that Princeton has disappointed or frustrated you?
I mean, I think it's, I only have good things to say about Princeton. The only thing is Princeton has lots of pockets and lots of pockets of people doing the same thing you do. That is kind of, I don't know, I don't want to say the way ridiculous, but it's, I just don't get it. So I don't know why I don't know why we all don't sit down at the same table and we talk about the same thing and on the Wednesdays, if you see on the Wednesdays, I'm talking about food, all the people who deliver on Wednesdays, like, this is, why? It's like, you know, that is, it's frustrating, and it's kind of silly in a way. And again, let's create community. It's, I think it's, there's some egos there that I just don't get. And I'm not like that. So I don't like to talk in public. No.
That's true. I was pretty surprised that you said yes and grateful to this interview.
Because it's Kim.
You know, is there a big event that sort of sticks in your memory being in Princeton?
It's funny, when I read the questions, it's, I think, something that really, I went with my own family, and I made sure that other members of the community, when we had the Black Lives Matter event for George Floyd, it was almost during pandemic, and we were all out there kneeling down. That for me was incredible.
Yeah, can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so, you know, it's, everybody knows who George Floyd is and what happened there, but I think it's in Princeton, and having three young kids who were very active and very motivated and very against, I think it was very important to also tell the families, it is okay for you to go, you will be safe, nothing is going to happen to you if you express that you are against any sort of brutality, and that it's not fair, and everybody should be safe, that you have your rights. I think it's like the motivation, and I was very proud of the different families that, and many of them were there.
It was a big gathering that day.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was all Witherspoon. I mean, it was amazing.
Yeah,
it was like a cross from. Kind of the, yeah, was pretty cool.
The students were university students, mm-hmm. who, but a lot of them connections with town as well,
yeah. mm-hmm.
that organized, I don't know, protest, sit-in.
Yes, it's, I don't know, in Spanish you call it manifestation.
But a lot of people came all along, as Liliana was saying, Nassau Street, mm-hmm. and Witherspoon, right outside the university, to.
So that for me was. It was, I mean, as sad as it was beautiful. And then also the way Princeton pulled up in through pandemic, I mean, the meeting house had cooks there cooking for the families, Metzaluna, I mean, the halls from the universities, everybody trying, like, we can do this, we can do this. It's like, it was really, really impressive, I would say. Yeah, it's something that stuck with you. Mm.
Could you have imagined when you came to Princeton?
Never. 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 I thought I was going to end up, I don't know. I started working in lingua. I thought, okay, well, I'll do my legal translations and I'll be. And so many things have happened. Yeah.
You've had children there. Are they carrying on this thing? Or do you feel like either you're legal?
I think my kids, we were just in Colombia, and my kids were impressed that, Mike, can you really shut up here? And I'm like, no. There were a couple of things that happened there. I'm like, no. So I think my kids have had enough. No. Uh-huh. No, I'll take this to my grave.
And
but that we need new generations, and you know, that this has to, this is a small movement that I think it's the new generations need to take care of it. And we have many kids volunteering for pantry that help us, not when we deliver, because I don't like that, but it's before and after. I think it's very good for the future generations to understand that not everybody is as lucky as you are. Not everybody, you know, we do not have the same. And even if we started again, we wouldn't, you know, there's always one who's smaller or smarter, or people are different. So I think that you need to be kind. And I just had an issue with a third grader that I won't say her name, but they were calling her tamales. I'm like, really? Really? In third grade? You don't do that. So I think it's if I you know, it's if this can keep going with future generations, and you can do this, but it's, you need to push, and it's, you have to work very hard. It's a 24/7 thing. You cannot say over the weekend, oh, I cannot help you because I'm at the beach. No, you have to keep doing what you're doing.
I mean, we've talked a little bit about, you know, the various, you know, communities and the way that you bring numbers of communities together. But you just touched on something, a lot of what you've talked about is the families that you work with, but also there are all kinds of other students. So you're sort of trying to imbue this work that you're doing, but also teach other people kind of the ways to be in community, or just demonstrate ways to be in community, kind of like you were talking about with the children, and ways to be like a good community member. Are there things that you feel have helped you, like, contribute, like, from, you know, you said the perspective and your legal background and kindness, but what are the other things that have made it, like, that are within Liliana that have made it possible for you to do the things, help the community in the way that you've helped?
Well, I think I'm very warm. I'm open. It's difficult to surprise me. But
has that always been the case?
Yeah. I've been always like that. And also, I speak other languages, which is also, you know, it gives you more flexibility to understand. And I'm coming from another country, from another continent, from another galaxy. I think it gives you, as I say, the worst perspective, and that, you know, we're not all the same, and unfortunately, not everybody is as lucky as you are, and if you can share your luckiness or whatever you say that, I think it is like something that should come from you. It's like to help, not put people down. You book them up.
So you're looking for, you're hoping to kind of develop people to pick up the mantle in their own way.
I really hope, yeah, because I'm getting old. So it's I'm getting
for the record, she doesn't look like she's getting old,
but I'm almost 60. But I think it is a fact of life, and I don't think people should stay in the same role forever. I think this has to change, and it's okay.
Is there anything else that you'd like to share with us?
No, thank you so much, Kim. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much. Thanks so much, Liliana.
Thank you. Bye.